What does true love reveal? Find out today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. What evidence do we have to show that we are followers of Jesus Christ? It's love. Love from God, given to us by the Holy Spirit. How is that love to be seen in our lives? By loving one another. Let's learn more about how that's done as we look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11.
Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We have been in a study of this epistle, and last week we veered in a different direction, but this morning I want to bring us back to 1 John chapter 2. This morning we're looking at verses 7 through 11. Verses 7 through 11. John is the one writing. This is the apostle whom Jesus loved. This is written around 90 A.D. to believers in Asia Minor. And he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, as we've been in this study of this epistle, as we ventured into chapter 2, the last place that we left off is where John is talking about how we can know that we know him. He says there in verse 3, how we can know this is if we keep on keeping his commandments. But the one who says he doesn't, or the one who says he does know him and does not keep on keeping his commandments, is a liar. And so the passage was pointing out obedience, and it was a continual obedience. I know that there are times in our life when we're not faithful as we ought to be. There are times when we succumb to the flesh. But there should be a habit and a pattern of our life of obedience. And that's what he talks about in verses 3 through 6. This continual abiding in Christ and continually walking as he walked. But now he shifts the direction a little bit. He gives another test here, and it's the test of love for the brethren. In fact, what we're going to find out in these verses is really more of a commentary of Luke 10:27, where Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. Because, again, if you look at what he's saying here, he is talking about this subject of love. Now, you remember that the greatest commandment that is given in the Bible is found in Luke 10:27, and it's a quotation of Deuteronomy 6:5 as well as Leviticus 19:18. And it's the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. If you focus on those two things, you fulfill the law of God. Many times people ask, should we keep the Ten Commandments? Again, you focus on those two things, you will fulfill the commandments. You will not have any other gods before the one and true God. You will love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all throughout that, if you follow after loving the Lord with all your heart and doing it in such a way as he mentions there, and then loving your neighbor as yourself, you've done everything that God has required of you. And it will make you a different person at that. Really, one way to kind of focus our evangelism, if you ask a person, instead of, are you a Christian or do you go to a church, why don't you try something like this? Why don't you ask them, do you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And see what they say. And then if they say, well, yes, of course, well, do you love your neighbor as yourself? And if that happens to be your neighbor, you could say more. But, of course, the idea of a neighbor, it's not just the person living next to you. It was the person who had a need. And you took that person's needs and you put them above your own needs. And you sought to meet that need. That's more of what he's talking about. Really, in this passage, we could actually be seeing John asking a question by saying, what is your love like? What is your love like as you look and examine your life? Now, there are two concepts in these verses that we're going to look at this morning. And the first one is the commandment in verses 7 and 8. And if you'll notice there that he talks about an old commandment. Listen to what he says again. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So he tells us what that old commandment is. It's the command that they heard from the beginning, and it's the command that he is writing to them to remind them of. Well, I said he mentioned what it is, and really you have to get over to the second letter to find out exactly what it is. Turn with me over to 2 John. In the letter of 2 John, he answers his own question about this old commandment. What is that old commandment? Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you have had from the beginning. And what is it at the end of the verse? That we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. It's almost similar terminology that he's using there in 1 John chapter 2. So he says, first of all, this old message, you've had it from the beginning. This old message, you heard it from the beginning. What did they hear from the beginning? Well, we go back into chapter 1, they heard the gospel. And in the gospel message, it tells us about loving one another, and it tells us about loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why I say that when we witness to people, we ought to start right there. Ask them what their love life is like. Do they have a love relationship with the Creator? Do they know him in such a manner that they love him, as Luke 10 talks about? Now, he softens his command here in verse 7 by addressing them as brethren. Brethren is a word that he uses many times in this letter. And the word itself, it means coming from the same womb. And so what he is talking about here is that they all have the same kind of relationship with the Father. They all are brothers. In fact, the better manuscripts in the Greek would read beloved ones. So they have this relationship here to the Father, and they have this relationship to one another. You know, this is what links us, is our salvation in Jesus Christ, and we have become brothers and sisters in Christ. As you've heard me say before, that many times in the fellowship of the church, that we are closer than blood relations because we have a relationship. We see each other probably more than we see family. But in many cases, it is like that. And so he says that they had this message from the beginning. And this message is no new commandment. He's not writing a new commandment to them. New does not mean new in time, but it means new in quality. It refers to something that would replace something that was worn out. And the idea of commandment, of course, is precept. He's saying, I'm not giving you something you've never heard before. I'm just telling you an old commandment that you've heard from the beginning, from the first time that you heard the gospel. And that old commandment, he says there, is the word which you've heard from the beginning. And again, that word was love. Love one another. You know, I don't think that we struggle there in our church. We may be small in number, but we do like to love on each other, don't we? And I do believe that people that come in here for the first time experience that. I remember the gentleman that came in and he turned around and wrote back on Facebook that he had been treated as if he had been coming here for years because we had accepted him. He felt right at home with us. And again, that is true every time someone walks in here, whether it's someone you haven't seen in a while or whether it's someone you're meeting for the first time. Because that's the Holy Spirit's love that's been poured out in our hearts, right? That's what's been poured out into us, and we share that with one another. That's what makes us have this commonness here. Now, the Old Commandment or the Old Testament marked many exhortations to love. Leviticus 19 and verse 18 tells us, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, this goes all the way back to Leviticus, the third book in the Old Testament. If it goes that far back, then we know that this is not a new command. This is something that he is reiterating to us, though. Over in verse 34 of Leviticus 19, he says, the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He even says it again in Deuteronomy 10:19. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So they were always told to love. They were always told to have this kind of relationship toward each other, not to hold grudges, not to take vengeance. We get in the New Testament, this is repeated. And so that brings us there to verse 8. He says, again, I give you a new commandment. And what's this new commandment? What's this new inequality of commandment that he's saying? Because if he's saying to love, that's something they already had. That's something that they already knew. But what is Jesus meaning right here? Or John meaning as repeating Jesus's words in life because he was with Jesus for so long. What he is doing here is he's making a significant play on words. Though he doesn't state again what the commandment is, we looked at that in 2 John verses 5 and 6, but the command is to love. And both of these phrases refer to this commandment of love. And the commandment of love was new because Jesus had personified love in a fresh and new way, and it was shed abroad in believers' heart. This was something that wasn't true in the Old Testament. They were told to obey this, but it wasn't until Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came that we give this inner capacity to do this, because now we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament came upon people for short periods of time, for works of service, and it was mainly with those who were in authority. You remember David in Psalm 51 when he had committed the sin with Uriah and Bathsheba and so forth, and you remember that when he finally comes to the place in Psalm 51 of confessing his sin, what does he say? Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. We can't pray that today because the Bible tells us that we have the Holy Spirit as children of God. We have him. He's a permanent part of our life. He has taken up residence in our life. He has come and made an abode in our hearts. And so that's why when we sin against the Trinity. We sin against the Father, we sin against the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus did make this something new. This was something that was energized by the Spirit, and he raised it to a higher standard for the church, and he commanded his disciples to imitate his love. If you remember that in John 13:34, he talks about, you know, loving one another so that everyone will know that you're my disciples. You remember in John 13 earlier when he washed their feet, he said, as I have done this for you, you do this for one another. And that was really a rebuke to them because during that time they had entered the room, they had sat down, they reclined, they were ready to eat, and there was no servant in the house to wash anyone's feet. They certainly were not going to do that. So Jesus ends up doing what? Washing their feet. And he demonstrates to us what love is. Love is laying down your interests, your will, your desires. And it's meeting a person at the point of need. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Over in Ephesians 5, we see kind of the same concept. Over in verse 18, he talks about the command to be filled with the Spirit. And then when he talks about the command to be filled with the Spirit, he talks about other things that happen as a result of that. Notice that he says in verse 19 that we will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We will sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. So there's a one another concept that's taking place there when we're filled with the Spirit. There is an inward thing that's taking place as well as we make melody in our heart to the Lord. Then he talks about gratitude in verse 20, where we will give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means not just the good things. It's easy to give thanks for good things going on in our life, but it also includes the bad things in our life. God is working in us through those bad things, right? Romans 8:28, we know that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. But look at verse 21. When we are filled with the Spirit, he says we will submit to one another in the fear of God. We will submit. And then he starts breaking down those relationships. He says wives will submit to their own husbands. Husbands, verse 25, will love their wives as Christ loved the church. Then he goes over into chapter 6 and talks about in verse 1 that children will obey their parents. Verse 4, fathers will not provoke their children to anger. Verse 5, servants will be obedient to their masters. And the list just goes on and on. That's what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. And therefore, if that's what happens, that's really going to demonstrate what it really means to love. Because what is also at the top of the list in the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if we want to experience the love that the Holy Spirit has poured out into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit empowers us and energizes us to have and to demonstrate, we have to be filled with the Spirit. And so that's why John is saying, listen, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. I'm just reiterating an old commandment. You've had this from the beginning, and that old commandment is the word that you heard from the beginning. And that word that you heard from the beginning was the gospel. And in the gospel, we have the greatest picture of love, because in the gospel, we have the cross. We have Jesus Christ dying on a cross for man's sin, meeting man at the point of his need. Our need was forgiveness. We had transgressed the law of God. We had offended a holy God. We had to satisfy the justice of his law, and it occurred right there on the cross. And to show that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus is that he's no longer on the cross. He went in the tomb, and he's no longer in the tomb. He rose the third day. That shows that God accepted his sacrifice. So this commandment, it was only old because in the Old Testament, there was the command to love. And the readers here reading this letter would understand that. But I want you to notice also, if you look there in this, look at verse 8. He says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. It's true in him. It's true in who? It's true in God. It says in John 13:1, that before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved them with a perfect love. Over in John 14:21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Listen, you have to understand that what John is writing in 1 John, when he starts talking about love, and this is not the only place he's going to do it, he's going to do it all over this letter, is because he was the apostle that was known for love. He was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper. He was the one that was referred to as the apostle whom Jesus loved. I don't think John ever got over that, because, again, you're going to see love permeating all through this letter. And if we're going to look at these things as maybe tests in our life, then we can look at it in that way. Do we truly love him? Do we truly love one another? Are we truly seeing those characteristics in our life? Jesus even said further in verse 31 of John 14, he says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. In other words, the Father gave him the commandment to love, and he expresses everything that of the Father. You remember when Philip said, show us the Father, and that would be sufficient for us? And Jesus said to Philip, have you not been with me so long that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He was the embodiment of everything that was true about the Father. That's why when we talk about the characteristics or the attributes of God, they are true with all three members of the Trinity. And so if God is a God of love, as we know in 1 John 4, then Jesus would be also a God of love. And the Holy Spirit would be a God of love. Over in John 15, verse 10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's the epitome of it. Jesus laid down his life, not just for his disciples, but for everyone who would believe on him. He laid down his life. He died on that tree, that cursed tree, for you and I. For everyone who would ever believe in him, he died for them. Amen? And he showed us that love. And again, John, he's hearing all of this. He's witnessing all of this with Jesus, and so he is repeating this. You and I, if we are around someone for a long time, we will begin to repeat things that they say. We will begin to, I think about marriage. The longer that you're married, the more you kind of look like each other, right? You see, though, you start looking at those pictures, you go, wow, you really look like each other. But you say similar things. You finish each other's sentences, right? It's not because you're trying to be rude, but it's just that you know each other. You've been around each other for so long that you do these things. Well, he says this is true in him about the love. Notice he says it's also true in you. And why does he say that? He says because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And the idea of the darkness passing away, it's meaning it's disappearing. And the picture is that of the darkness of sin and unbelief is passing away like a parade that would go by on a street. You remember on a parade, we see those things. Well, those parades have an end to them, don't they? They have a point where they will actually end. And so someday, one day, as the scripture points out to us, that Satan will have an end. Sin will have an end. The demons will have an end. It won't keep going on as you and I know it. In fact, as we say, and I've heard Jim say this too, is that it's going to get worse. And there's a lot of truth to that. But listen to what Jesus says about this over in John 12. He says in verse 46, he says, I have come as a light in the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Even Paul repeats that. Ephesians 5:8, he says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you're all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We are characterized as children of light. Let your light so shine before all men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, right? And so he says the same thing here. A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and it's true in you. Why? Because the darkness is passing away. And if you think about darkness and light, darkness would characterize sin. It would characterize all the things of sin, which would include the opposite of love, which is what? Hatred. Think about how God turned your heart. Think about how God changed your life. And he didn't just do it on the outside. I mean, that's a given, but he did it on the inside. You know, people that want to attach themselves to Christ and they just want to clean up the outside of their life are misunderstanding the gospel, because the gospel does a heart transformation. It deals with the inward person. That's why it talks about the old man being crucified, because Jesus dealt with the inward man. Right? The only thing that's left to be dealt with is our flesh. When we're given new bodies, and all of us are ready for that, right? Ready for those new bodies, those glorified bodies. He says that the darkness is passing away because the true light is already shining. Even evidences of it now shining. This is talking about those effects that they were already having in their life as believers, and there was more to come. The same is true in us. We see things in our life that were characteristics of our old life that we do not repeat those anymore. They are not part of our life anymore because they have been passing away, right? But what we do see is the evidence of his light. And you remember over in chapter 1 and verse 5, what did he say? That God is light. And so therefore, all those who belong to him are going to have those characteristics in their life. Now, as he continues on, and this is again the way John does this, he's back and forth with this black and white. And I'm not saying that as a pun for darkness and light, but that's what it means. But he's just there with all these absolutes. What does he do now? Well, if you'll notice in verses 9 through 11, he gives the consequences. Consequences of those who are in the light: they will love their brother. Consequences of those who are in darkness: they will do what? They will hate their brother. Look at what he says. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. See, these verses right here attack the hypocrisy of the Gnostics. The Gnostics, the false teachers who were seeking to lead these believers astray, claimed to be in the light, but their lives did not demonstrate being in the light. They did not love their brothers and sisters in Christ because, again, they were not in Christ. They did not know Christ. It was revealing that they were actually in darkness. If you claim to be a Christian, and if you want that claim to be valid, it has to be verified by a life of love, not a life of hate. Over in Titus chapter 3, you might want to look at that with me for just a moment. He talks about past life again, and he says there in verse 3, Titus 3:3, he says, "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another." He says, we were once this way, but he says in verse 4, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." You see the difference? There's a dichotomy. There is what we used to be like, and there's what we are now. What should be characterizing our lives now is love. Well, look at the consequences back at 1 John 2:9. If you hate your brother, he says, you are in darkness. It doesn't matter what your claim is. It's looking at your life. It's looking at your actions. Your claim may be that you are in the light, but the reality is if you hate your brother, you're not in the light. And he uses a very strong word for hate. It means to detest. It's a term that's found in early periods that had the idea of disliking or hating. We all know what hate's like. We've experienced it. We maybe have shown that it's sometimes in our life, something happens, something repeatedly happens, it plays on our emotions. We hate what is happening, but then we begin to focus on the personality that it's coming from, and then we begin to hate the person. We know what that's like. But here in the case here, he is talking about brothers.
We are to love one another, especially Christians. You've been listening today to a message from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, called What Love Reveals. This message is available on one full-length audio CD and is made available today by calling us at 904-651-3351. If you prefer, you can download the MP3 from our website at www.changedbygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll join us again next time as we study together God's Word.